Hello and welcome to My Husband Made Me Do It, the podcast where we review rom-coms that my husband made me watch. I'm your host, Katie Reynolds.
And I'm Lydia Irwin.
And today we are watching a Netflix original, Love in the Villa.
Yes, Love in the Villa is a 2022 Netflix original. As Katie said, it is
real, recent.
Yeah, romantic comedy. It's rated TV-14. So a bit of a change from our rated movie last week. It's an hour and 54 minutes. And of course, it is on Netflix. Today's summary, again, comes from IMDb. A young woman takes a trip to romantic Verona, Italy after a breakup, only to find that the villa she reserved was double booked. And she'll have to share her vacation with a cynical British man.
Yeah, it's not quite what happens, but part of it happens. There we go. Part of it. We start with Romeo and Juliet because of course we do. And just throwing it out there right off the bat, our main character, our female lead, is Julie. Her name is Julie. She is obsessed with Romeo and Juliet to the point where she's reading passages aloud to her third graders.
Yeah. Now, admittedly, they asked about it because...
Well, they asked about her trip to Verona because they were interested in her upcoming trip. And she, instead of just explain, hey, I'm going to Italy. I'm going to see these things. You know, here's a picture of what I'm going to say, whatever. No, she launches into reading Romeo and Juliet. They're listening quietly. But then one little girl raises her hand and she'd like to go pet the snake now, please. And all the kids run out to go pet the snake.
Yeah, they'd much rather feed the snake for sure.
It's feed the snake.
I have no problem with it. I think snakes are cool. She's talked her coworker into watching the snake, Rob.
And I was going to say, I think his name is Rob. I don't really, this movie and names, I've only got a handful of them.
There's really only 8 characters.
Like, good point. It.
But valid. Names are not really important in this movie, unless you are one of the maybe 4.
Apparently Rob is the only one I didn't know. So great shame. Yeah. Upon me now. Oh no. Yeah. Poor Rob.
So Rob is going to take care of the snake and she kind of backs him in and she's very excited because her boyfriend is also coming on this trip. Her boyfriend, Brandon, who I'm sure I will call Brendan.
I'm pretty sure they called him Brendan at some point. He is billed as Brandon, but my notes go back and forth because I don't think everyone was on the same page with what his name was. But she's pretty sure he's going to propose. Mm-hmm. Excitement. Hooray. They're at dinner. She is going through at a really nice restaurant. She is going through all of her plans. She has a printed out guide that she has made herself and has a pie chart in it because she's not a monster making bar graphs. You've got to be kidding me. She's got a pie chart that has even a block for spontaneity on it. Everything else is mapped out. They have 14 meal reservations. They are there for a week. She has 14 reservations.
Lunch and dinner.
Tours. Yes, lunch and dinner, because there's an event going on and she needed to make sure that they actually got a spot at these places. And it's not TripAdvisor tourist traps. No. She actually got places from their landlord at this place, Silvio.
Their host.
Their host. He recommended some places to her. So she wants to go there. And she also has tours built in around these reservations. So she has planned everything. And Brandon is
a minute.
Oh, yeah. Brandon is very uncomfortable.
This itinerary is laminated. And it is, in fact, 7% of the time allocated is for spontaneous.
Yeah. Yep. So you make a big deal out of it being laminated, but you know who I live with. Like,
I know.
It would absolutely be laminated. Chris would definitely have the spiral punch pre-made thing. He's done this before. Like, this is nothing. This is nothing new to me. This would happen. This would totally happen. But Brandon is getting overwhelmed listening to her.
And oh, yeah.
This is not a new relationship. This has been 4 years. That's why she's so convinced he's going to propose. But he is visibly overwhelmed, which seems strange because I feel like this would have cropped up before now and would have frightened him away before now. But it didn't. It's this moment that is freaking him out.
first he says it's not working, and she's like, "Oh no, the trains are fine. The
strike's over."
Yeah, but no, they are in fact, Katie, moving too fast.
Yeah,
after four years. So clearly he's having some thoughts. And yep. The waiter comes over and is like, "Can I help you anything?" She's breaking up with me. I'll be back with some bread.
Good call, man. Good call. Get out of there.
She does talk to her friend again, the coworker, mm-hmm. and he asks this great question. How bad is it from one to Adele? Like, it's pretty far up there. And she decides she's still going to go on this trip. It doesn't matter. Brendan, whatever his name is, you know, this is her thing. She's got to go.
Well, so she does go. She gets on the plane, but as soon as she hangs up with Rob, Rob is talking to his, I don't know if it's his boyfriend. Significant other. I don't know if it's husband or boyfriend or whatever, but he says, "You owe me $5. She scared him away.
Yeah.
But it's been 4 years.
Yeah. She also books her hotel, her stay that evening, which I find ridiculous because she's already talked to the guy.
I was a little confused.
Happening in a few days.
Yeah, I was a little confused because I thought the way she had everything planned out, that she had all of the stuff taken care of. But whoever wrote it doesn't seem to understand that you can't just like, no, it would be definitely, especially because there's an event going on and every room in the city is booked. It would definitely be like a year in advance, at least that she's booking this stuff. And for international tickets for a plane, I mean,
she had the plane tickets, but just not, because the only thing we see her book is the room. And she's using Hearth and Home or Host and Home.
I think it's Host,
which is like
an
Airbnb.
Yeah, but even for the plane though, so did she manage to cancel his ticket and then someone else like quickly got the seat because there's someone sitting next to her?
Yeah, I was definitely confused about that. Now, going to the flights, all of the flights for some reason are either delayed or canceled. Something is going on.
It's Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's just the weather. I'm assuming it's weather.
Okay, that makes sense. But she's in the airport forever. She ends up holding a random guy's hand as she's like taking a nap and they're like, flight to Verona. She's got apparently a direct flight to
Minnesota to Verona. Not happening.
She's like holding his hand. They run onto the plane and he's sitting next to her. And then when there's some turbulence and she grabs his thigh. He freaks out. Dude, she was just holding her hand in the airport and you're upset about this?
It's not that much of a freak out. It really, because it doesn't really seem to matter that much.
He gives her a look. Like, yeah.
Well,
this is where you draw the line. She was sleeping on you practically at the airport. Anyway,
it still wasn't that big of a deal. And then you see they're again together. She is waiting. They're both waiting for luggage. His pink suitcase comes by. You think, oh, maybe it's hers because it's pink. But no, comedic effect. He goes over, picks it up and bounces out of there. She's like, oh, it's just you and me, I guess. And nope, suitcase. He's gone.
But I was definitely confused that she didn't have the seat next to her booked for her flight. So I'm with you on that. Also, it was a tiny little airplane. That's for not a short flight.
No, flying across most of the North American continent and then the ocean. Yeah.
7-8 hours minimum.
More than that. Much. Yeah. I don't know.
Wild. So she has no luggage. She tries to get a taxi. She can't get a taxi. So she gets in a car with a random guy.
Before the luggage thing, she has spilled coffee on herself. So now she has a tourist t-shirt and tourist sweatshirt on. It's a zip-up pink hoodie that says Italia is for lovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't know what the t-shirt says yet at this point. But
we know there is one because there is coffee spilled on her. But yeah, so she ends up in... She's like, are you an Uber? Which you still need the app. Yep. Otherwise, you're just getting into a random stranger's car. And he says, his name is Uberto. He's not an Uber, but his name is Uberto. So
it's
she's
even
like,
better.
Fine, that'll do. So she got this wild ride with Uberto. He's all over the place in his little car. People are nearly dying. She's flying all over the back seat. Her facial expressions are fantastic. I do love... Cat Graham was a pleasant surprise with comedic timing and chops in this one. Yeah. Normally she plays a slightly more serious character whenever you see her. She did a great job with comedy in this one, I thought.
I didn't recognize her. I looked her up. I don't think I've seen anything
really?
She's been in.
Okay. Well, if anyone
she was great.
Yeah, for any CW fans out there, she was Bonnie from Vampire Diaries, and she's also been in a bunch of other Netflix rom-coms. So,
okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So she gets to her villa. She's very excited because this villa is in the same square, the same piazza as Juliet's statue and Juliet's...
The Juliet balcony.
Balcony, yeah, which...
And there's the whole people putting notes up,
love letters
in the hall. So she has to walk through all of this stuff to get to her villa. But then, of course, when she walks up to the villa, there's all sorts of graffiti on the door. And she's like, oh, of course, so that's the place she's staying. But really? You're right next to it. Who cares what that looks like? I mean, yeah. Honestly. So she gets upstairs. There's a very kind of trashy key in the key box. She pulls that out. It's got some heart attached to it or mm-hmm. something like that. It's questionable. And the key box is like velvet. So I thought, oh my God, what is she walking into? But no, she gets in. It's fine. It's a nice bell. Oh, we should also point out there were a ton of cats.
Yes.
There were cats everywhere when she was walking into the place.
But also the door is open.
Oh, was it open? I thought she had the key.
She took the key out, but then the door was just open.
Oh, okay. Forgot about that.
Yep. So she gets in and she puts what little stuff she has down. And there's a guy just there in his underwear.
Yep. I think he's just gotten out of the shower or something like that. And it's not just a guy. It's the very handsome Tom Hopper of Umbrella Academy fame.
And Game of Thrones. But Tom Hopper is so funny. This is the first time I've seen him in like a romantic role. And I was looking at him, I was like, he's very handsome, but he's kind of an awkward British guy on a big jacked body. And it's like, it's just kind of, he's cute. He's good looking. Like I'm into it, but it was just like a weird thing that my brain was like, yeah.
It is a little strange. It is a little strange. It's funny. It is funny. But yeah, I mean, he also really sells it with the comedy in this. He does a darn good job.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a man in this villa that she's rented. And talking to each other, they find out that, they have bookings on different booking sites.
Yep.
So she's trying to get in touch with Silvio and the person who was renting the place.
Yep.
And Charlie, Tom Hopper's character, says, you know, I've been renting this place from Silvio for 6 years. I've never met the man, and he does things on his own time. So good luck.
Italy. But, you know, she doesn't make mistakes, Katie. So it's definitely his fault.
Which is the most bizarre thing, because no, it's clearly there was a mix up with the apps. It was someone else outside of the two of them made the mistake. So that was just weird to me, but whatever.
Her at the beginning, not my favorite character.
No. And we'll talk about that more as we go, but it feels to me like we have two very different movies that were just mashed together.
Yeah.
And the first part of the movie, I am not there for. I actually had that moment of, oh my God, this movie is too long. It wasn't great. I mean, it was still funny, but I was just upset with her character. And then we get to the second half and I'm like, no, I'm here for this. Yeah. This is okay.
So the reason he's been renting this place for 6 years is because there's this big wine event in Verona, and he comes every year, Vinitaly, and he is a wine importer in the
UK. We are going to have a Netflix cinematic universe movie for wine making. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Thing.
But both came out in 2022. Come on, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Do you think Netflix is going to release their own wine?
I don't know.
I mean, that would, they've worked with Ben and Jerry's to do ice cream. I feel like they need to do like wine.
Maybe. I feel like Netflix doesn't always have the best concept of how to market themselves or their properties. It's weird. Like they missed the boat on so many things. Like if we go back to like The Witcher, everyone wanted that freaking song and they didn't release that song for months. Like, guys, you should have had this ready day one. Just it's funny. They just don't always understand marketing.
No, they don't understand their audience, but that's a different
podcast. Not at all. Sorry, Netflix.
He does let her stay, but since he's already been here, she can sleep on the couch.
Reasonable. He's being very accommodating and reasonable because he was there first. He has been renting the place for years. They know it's just a mix up and he's being very accommodating, letting her stay because he knows there is no other available place for her to stay in the city because one, tourists, and two, this wine show.
Yeah. The next morning she wakes up because Silvio is there and he's brought in food. Oh, it turns out, no, Charlie was totally lying. He absolutely knows Silvio. They're good friends. He comes by all the time, which weird, but he's brought in a bunch of food from the local market.
It's really good prosciutto.
Yeah. We find out that his wife does the Hearth and Home website and his girlfriend does the whatever
app the other one
that
is.
Charlie uses, and the girlfriend's the one that messed up because his wife never makes
a mistake. She's wonderful. She's so good at it. The girlfriend, she's not so bright. She handles the other one. You know, mistakes happen there.
Yeah. So eventually she starts crying because she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know where to go. And, you know, he's British, so he doesn't deal with overt displays of emotion.
Yeah, he can't quite handle it. He doesn't know what to do with her. She's just sobbing uncontrollably.
Yeah.
It's like, I need you to have a stiff upper lip right now. We can get this under control, please.
Now, he's going to be at this wine thing for the most part of every day. So if they could just share. She'll sleep on the couch and she'll stay in her part of the villa and he'll stay in his part. It'll be fine.
Yep. He's still being incredibly accommodating.
Yeah.
Totally. There is a lovely line. I just have to throw this out there. So they keep repeating this line in Italian. It's love finds a way. That is the motto of the villa. And at one point, I think it's Charlie who says, love finds a way. That's awfully close to a line from Jurassic Park. I loved that so much. She is supposed to be going out and doing her touristy things. She's already behind because she slept in. The weird thing is the first thing she's doing is she's supposed to be looking at the stuff in the area below her window. And yet there's this huge press of people. She's overwhelmed. She can't figure anything out. She can't see what she wants to see. It's like, it's right there. You can go see it anytime you want. What are you doing?
That night at lunchtime, whenever.
She's overwhelmed. She misses her bus. She's got gelato all over her planner. Hit by a bunch of mopeds.
Yep. And she loses the itinerary and it gets destroyed. She throws it out and it gets run over by all those mopeds that almost hit her.
Well, it does, but
throws it out.
It's not even that ruined, but she says, okay, I get it. And she throws it out. And Chris, of course, sitting next to me is like, rookie mistake. You always need to have multiple copies of the plan.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, no, any prepared person that was that prepared would have multiple copies. But
absolutely. She would at least have a copy for Brandon.
Her luggage.
Well, true. Yeah, actually true. But she doesn't have an electronic copy somewhere. You gotta, come on. So she throws it out and she sulks back to the villa.
And super sweaty. And she's really hot. So she tries to turn on the AC. The AC doesn't work. Oh, there's just a fan. Well, the fan is also broken. But she's still wearing this sweatshirt. She hasn't taken off her sweatshirt yet.
Well, because he points out, like, well, what do you have? One of those crummy shirts from the airport, too, the tourist shirts. And I don't remember what he says, but the one that she has, because he makes some pun that would be on a t-shirt. And her t-shirt is endless possibility.
I think his pun was something about pizza, but it was
the Leaning Tower of pizza. She opens a window to try to let some air in, and he's like, no, don't do that. All of a sudden, all of the cats that we saw earlier that she'd had to wind her way around to get into this villa are in the apartment. They just come in. I don't know why, but all of a sudden, just in the house, and he is horribly allergic to cats. Yeah. This guy who has to taste wine for a living is horribly allergic to cats, who are now everywhere.
Instantaneous response.
I mean, in fairness, there are like 50 cats suddenly in this room.
But it's kind of hilarious. So at one point after this movie, I had to go back and like look at different images of this place to try and figure out where in space things were. So I went through and I was like, okay, there's this. Where is the door in relation to the balcony? And where is this window? Because how are the cats getting to the window? There is nothing.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing for them to climb on. And we make a big point of this throughout the movie that there is just nothing outside this window except there's a ledge type thing that there's a balcony next to their balcony. And that's about it.
There's a balcony that they leave the doors open to all the time, but the cats can't get in through the balcony.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
through the window.
They all get in through the window, but the balcony, yeah, nothing for the balcony. Yeah, because we don't really know where the window is.
I figured it out, and it makes no sense as to how the cats are getting from where they were in the staircase to the balcony, because
I think the cats are just teeming throughout the square is what we're supposed to be.
But there's like a bunch of people there and they're on the third floor. Like, how do they get up there?
I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, we end up with this weird kind of moment where she's really mad. And so she's on the phone with Rob. And Rob convinces her that she needs to drive Charlie out of this villa. Now, this is where I got so upset with this movie. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Why are we watching this? Why is this happening? Because she has a week in Verona. And this was like the trip that she always wanted to take. This was such a big deal for her. You have a man he's a bit of a dick, but he's not that bad. And he is very graciously allowing her to stay there. No problems. Just like, he's going to work. She can go do her touristy thing and it'll be fine. But no, she wants to drive him out of this villa where she's not going to spend that much time anyway. Like, what is the point of this?
And the only reason he's really a dick is because she just comes in to what is essentially his villa.
Yeah.
And just tries to like kick him out and take over. Like, his dickishness
is in response to her.
100% understandable, because exactly, it's in response to her.
Yep.
And like, she is entirely the catalyst.
Yeah, I blame Charlie for almost nothing in this movie. No. Charlie is actually just fine. He's a guy who's trying to make the best out of this crummy situation and just trying to be a nice person.
So nice to let this random total stranger sleep on the couch with his stuff. Like, she could be a homeless person for all he knows, because she literally has nothing.
She could be a competitor for all he knows. Like, he has no idea. True. Yeah, no idea.
So she goes out the next day and buys a bunch of olives.
Yep.
And surrounds him with them in his sleep.
Yes.
And then lets in the cats.
So Chris and I Googled, because we had no idea.
Is this a thing? Because she says it's a thing.
This is a thing, apparently. Now, I have owned cats my entire life. I think we've mentioned on the podcast that we have a cat before. She's made a guest appearance when she bumped into, the microphone at one point. Apparently, green olives they have some of the same properties as catnip. They're non-toxic, I guess. I don't know. It's not something never would occur to me to give to my cat. I probably still will not give to my cat. But I guess green olives are basically catnip for cats.
My thought here was, holy shit, she could have killed this person.
She's crazy. Let's be clear. She's a little crazy. Like, you can change this instant. This is another rom-coms and slasher flicks are.
Oh, yeah.
They're not too far apart.
No. she already saw his horrible instant reaction to a couple of cats earlier the day before, and he is sleeping with cats on his chest, on his face, around his whole body. Not only could he have broken out in hives, he could have had like a horrible reaction and died in his sleep.
Yep, probably. I've never heard of anyone dying from exposure to cats, but there are a lot of shock. Cats. Yeah, like, and he is not in a position to take himself out of that situation.
No.
It's so, not good.
He comes out and she explains green olives. Yeah.
She owns up to it. That's the thing. Yeah. There are no olives around. He's like, why did the cats find their way to my bed? She just straight up owns up to it. And it's just, it's so weird. And my notes are just like, I'm so confused. He hasn't done anything to her. And this is going to continue for a while because they basically go to war with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And
he says that, you know, you have started this war. They have a toast with coffee, like the Romans, you know, used to toast before they would go to
toast
war.
Toast their enemies. Yep.
And so as he is walking out of the building to go to his thing, her luggage is getting delivered. So he says, oh, no, she had a mental breakdown, went into an insane asylum, and has asked for her clothes to be donated to charity, specifically children orphans. Child orphans?
I don't know, but he indicates that she's very small. Yeah. So that's why they need to go to a children's charity. Orphanage. Which, fairly tame compared to her practically unleashing the cats on him. Yeah. So the guy who's delivering the luggage has the wherewithal to call the number that he has for her. And she says, no, deliver that. So she gets her luggage.
She doesn't get her luggage.
Oh, I thought she did.
Oh, it's been donated. No, she does end up going out and buying clothes.
Oh, that's right. She buys a bunch of clothes. But why did the guy bother to call her then?
Because I think she called and said, hey, I thought my luggage was getting delivered today. Where is it?
Never mind. I thought he called her. Okay, that makes it. She does buy all of the clothes. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Nope, they are gone and been donated to the orphanage. So she decides to super glue the locks.
Where did she get super glue from? Like, you're in Verona to sightsee, and you decide to buy, like, go out of your way to buy super glue. She gums up the lock with it. So Silvio has to come with a locksmith. Mm-hmm. They reset the lock.
They change the locks to take it out and put in a new one.
So
Charlie when he
doesn't
gets
have
home,
a key.
His key doesn't work, right?
So Silvio hasn't met him yet. Yeah.
Yeah. He tries to go over. There's a window in the hallway, and he tries to jump out of the window over to the balcony.
There are people below them eating. This plaza that they have outside of them, a lot of different things happen there. Sometimes it's all just touristy, like people looking at things, and other times there's a full-on restaurant. All of these people are below him, and he is trying to jump from one window to the balcony. And
he does not make it.
No, he doesn't. He's clinging to the balcony, and she decides, oh, okay, she's watching this happening. Instead of being out doing touristy things, she is sitting there eating gelato, and she calls
at a
the
cafe
police
or something.
Yeah, she calls the police and reports a break-in.
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
So the police come, and he shouts. They're trying to get him to put his hands up, which they're already up. He's clinging. And he shouts, "Don't shoot! I'm British."
Yeah. Which, of course, the cops give him a hard time about
the cops
later on.
Love.
But he gets arrested. He does go to jail. He gets out. But he says, you know, I can do this all week. You have just started something. This is it. But so now she's super paranoid. She has a
paranoid.
Hard time sleeping.
Yeah. It's like, well, you brought this on yourself.
Ugh. Now, when she goes out the next day, she comes back and everyone in the piazza is... And the tunnel is staring at her.
Oh, they're calling her out by name. Like, they know who she is. They're like, don't give up on love. Yeah. Oh, Brandon's a jerk.
Yeah.
What's going on? Well, there's basically a little altar that's been set, a little shrine that's been set up to her. He has taken her journal or her diary, which has come up a few times. We haven't mentioned it, but it's come a few times this far. He's taken that and he has plastered that on the wall for everyone to see. And he's made a little shrine out of it. So everyone has read her personal private thoughts about her life with Brandon.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty bad.
It's bad.
She's freaking out. She goes in and he decides he's got to call a truce because his boss isn't happy that he got arrested because apparently some of the wine people here don't want to work with criminals.
Yep. Someone backed out of a deal. So she's hurting his job now for no reason other than she wants to be in this villa by herself for a couple of days.
Yeah. So they decide, you know, they're not friends, but they're friend adjacent. He's making the local dish. And
oh, because when he's stressed, he lifts weights and she looks at him and says, "You must be stressed a lot."
Yes.
He says, "Yes, I am." But when he doesn't have access to weights, he cooks, which these seem like the opposite things, but that's okay. So he cooks. And he's making this local dish, which is some sort of pasta dish.
Yeah, it's something in Italian.
Yeah. She doesn't speak Italian. He says, "Oh, that's unfortunate."
Yeah.
Okay. She's dressed for dinner.
Well, she goes and takes a shower. She puts on a really cute dress. Mm-hmm. She does have her shoes in the bathroom because when she comes out of the bathroom, she has her shoes on. Sound strange?
I have no idea. She is very dressed up for this dinner.
Yes.
They're sitting down talking. He's poured some wine.
She switches the wine glasses.
Yes.
And then he quotes Princess Bride.
Yeah.
So she switches them back.
Yeah. Yep. He's the Sicilian.
Yep. They taste them. They're not poisoned, which is good. And then she's like, "Oh, this is delicious. What is this?" And he's like, "Oh, it's the local dish. It's horse." And she freaks out. Absolutely freaks out. Here's the thing. Would I go out of my way to eat horse? Hell no. If I was in a place where like the most common meat was horse, would I eat it? I don't know. Probably.
Well, it's not the most common meat, but he makes the point that it is the local dish.
Yeah.
We don't eat horse.
Would you eat kangaroo in Australia?
I have no idea. Maybe. I think I did.
I don't remember.
It's just that we don't eat horse in the United States.
No, exactly.
I think it's illegal, actually.
I think so, too.
Yeah, or at least some part of that process is illegal. But
people eat deer.
I know. It is just so, she's very offended by this. Yeah. The point where they start having a food fight.
Yeah.
Yes, have a food fight over it. So
throws the cheese out the window.
Yeah. Oh, yes, your love of cheese. Yeah, I'm sure the cats got it. They loved it.
The cats loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the window breaks and everyone down below hears them screaming at each other. So, again, the police are called. It's the same cops. And the one cop is telling them, like, "I don't want to hear anything more from you two.
Yeah.
This is it. This is done." And then he comments on, "Oh, yeah, I can smell the local dish." Like, "Yeah, good choice. Good choice." But then Charlie does come clean in that. If you marinate portobello mushrooms in a certain wine, it really tastes a lot like meat. And yeah, I mean, that is a meat substitute, so it makes total sense. But he never fed her horse. It was just mushrooms the entire time.
He apologizes for being a tosser. And he thinks back, and he's, you know, "I'm kind of a tosser more often than not. So I guess that just makes me a tosser."
He's so incredibly likable, and her character, at least at this point, is not. It's just amazing. Like, he's done nothing objectionable. Even his worst things of, you know, sending her luggage away and then feeding her mushrooms, even comparable.
He does share her diary with
I forgot about that.
But
the public, you know, shockingly reads English. Universally.
She tried to kill him.
True. She did. And she got him arrested. She tried to kill him and got him arrested. I feel like he's justified.
Bad, but not nearly at the level
of
hers. It's just not even close. So they have some nice drinks.
They're getting drunk. Along. Yep.
They go for like a walk. They do all this stuff. You start to see some real chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually working out. They have a lot in common, and he gets a phone call and finds out that one of his coworkers' wife
went into labor.
And so his coworker has to leave. So his room at the very fancy, awesome hotel is available, but you know, they're having a nice time. They're going to they go out for a walk. They do all sorts of stuff and they're having fun together. And you know, he's like, Yeah, I guess your weird match is mine. And they come up with this nice word that I kind of
flossom.
Like.
Flossom.
Flossom. Yeah, it's a flawed, but awesome.
Yep.
We learn that he spends a lot of his time in a cubicle, which he calls his practice coffin. If he could do anything, he would buy a Tuscan vineyard, but he's very risk averse. So he's not going to do that.
Right.
She loves teaching. That's what she would do. If she had every option in the world, she would still do this. They go to, I don't know what fountain it is, but it's like a fountain where you throw pennies in and make wishes.
Make a wish, yeah.
She goes and she makes a wish. And she says she'll tell him what her wish is if he goes and does the traditional thing at Juliet's statue, which is apparently to touch Juliet's boob and make a wish for true love. Now,
not just touch, hold.
Yeah.
Hold her boob and make a wish.
I was unaware of this when we first saw the whole piazza. And I was like, oh, people touch Juliet's boobs a lot.
Well, he comments on how German it is.
Shiny.
Yeah.
And like, I know, I always think it's cute when you see like statues of dogs and the heads and the noses are always shiny because people pat the statue and it wears away. It makes them shiny. And I was like, oh, okay. People are touching her breasts a lot.
Yep. He comments, she's like a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
It's really germy.
He's not into it, but he does it.
He does it. And he makes a wish.
She holds her hand on top of his. There's that moment. Are they going to kiss? They don't. He crashes on the couch. Now, you think that maybe they were going to get together at that point, but nope, he's super drunk. So she wakes up super early in the morning and like cleans everything.
Yeah, it looks really good. Point where he thinks it's like a different place. She goes out. She goes shopping or something. She's wearing this ensemble is something else.
Her outfits are cute.
No, but this one is
it's a little too Italian.
And like, but like someone else's interpretation. Yeah. It's a foreigner's interpretation of what Italian is in a movie. Mm-hmm. She's got a silk floral handkerchief. Yeah, scarf around her head. She has very frilly straps on this dress. It's over
the top.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And they look like they're dressed for two different seasons because he's wearing a sweater, a shirt underneath it, and pants. And she's got this short dress with the frilly straps. And it's a lot of skin. It's weird. It's wild.
It's apparently hot enough out that like she wanted the AC earlier. So I don't know what's happening.
I think this must be spring break.
But yeah, she can't just be snowing in.
Oh, we don't know if there was, we never
in
saw
Minneapolis.
snow.
But all the planes were canceled.
But we don't know why that was. Something was happening, yeah. But we don't know what the problem was. But it looks like they're dressed for two different seasons. And all I can think is that this is probably spring break because I don't know how she gets there otherwise.
Yeah. Now, she has made plans for the two of them for the entire day because he said he had the day free. He doesn't have to go to the big event. He can, you know, do what he wants. So she's
he has a thing at night.
Yes, that's true. She has all these things. You've never seen the balcony. And
because he's been coming there for 6 years, but he's never done anything touristy while he was there.
No, but also he keeps booking this same, what is it? Villa de Romantica or something.
Like. Yeah. So she points out you must be a closet romantic and because you could stay anywhere you want because it's not close enough to the convention that he's going to actually make sense. Like you could stay wherever you wanted. You are choosing to be here. Yeah. So she thinks he's a closet romantic, which is probably the case. And then she just decides to take him on all these touristy things and they have a good time.
Yeah. They go and see the Juliet's secretaries. They do the balcony. They have a picnic. She hires Uberto,
Uberto
to drive them around. And she's like into it. And he is freaking out now.
Yeah, because she's completely over any reservation she had about Uberto. She's having Uberto's like mother's
cannolis
or something like
that. The secret is in the ricotta.
Yeah, she's just having this straightforward conversation while he is like fearing for his life off to the side because Uberto's being Uberto.
Yeah, driving like a maniac. So they have this conversation about destiny and how and fate. And he has this really kind of romantic idea that destiny is a fantasy. And what's romantic about fate, right? If there are 4 billion women and I'm destined to be with one, that's, you know, whatever. But if there are 4 billion women and I choose one over everyone else.
Right. That's the romantic part. Yes. That's what he says. They end up talking and developing this relationship quite a bit more. Yeah. And then they end up at this party at a really nice castle.
Gorgeous castle vineyard. And now we learned earlier that this vineyard is on the verge of bankruptcy, but its wine is killer. If he can buy all of their wine at a really cheap price, then he's going to be like the hero of the company.
Yep.
And they can get all this wine for really cheap. And we meet the
Carlo Caruso. Owner.
Yeah. He comes over and he has this statement of, you know, power in a relationship resides in the one who cares less.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's Charlie. Yeah, yeah, he says that much earlier, but yes. Yeah.
Well, right before the wine guy comes over to give her the tour of the vineyard and the castles. And he says to her, oh, your boyfriend is a shark. Well, he's not my boyfriend, but yes. And Uberto's there for some reason.
Uberto's their ride. He's just enjoying the day.
And she comes in and she's like, oh my God, your wine is amazing. And all I could think was, you're going to lose him this deal and get him fired.
Yep. Yep. I was thinking the same thing. I was wondering why Charlie would leave her alone with him, because she calls the wine transcendent. They know this wine is really, really good. He's just not great at marketing it or selling it because it's cheap. Like it comes out, I mean, it's not that cheap. It's like it's a mid-range price for wine, but it's on the lower end of the mid. So he just can't afford to keep producing it the way that he is with all of the upkeep needed for this castle and the wine cellars and things like that. He needs to charge more. And she just manages to torpedo this deal. But
oh yeah, Charlie just brushes it off.
He's weirdly like okay with it. He has a balcony moment where he looks up and sees her coming out on a balcony. He goes up to join her. She's talking with Carlo. They all have a conversation. That's when the deal blows up. And then they just start dancing in front of this balcony.
Yeah.
Uberto's dancing with a woman down below. He's found love. Good job, Uberto.
Because at least he didn't take advantage of the vintner. So it must feel good, right? It feels good that you didn't take advantage of him. Yeah.
But at the same time,
you're about to lose your job.
I know. It's kind of this weird thing where, you know, already he doesn't like his job, and it's kind of setting it up. This doesn't end up happening in the movie, which is a weird lack of closure, but you would think like, oh, okay, maybe he's going to take the risk and then, you know, go in with this guy and give him some capital or what have you. We never find out if that happens, but yeah, he's being set up to lose his job by this woman that he just met, who has just terrorized him for days.
The total lack of any response to losing this deal blew my mind. I was just like immediately taken out of, like, this is supposed to be a cynical British guy who loves his, or doesn't love his job, but he loves drinking wine. And
I don't know. It's weird. There was just no. They just dance. They dance and they almost kiss. And he says, no, I can't.
I can't.
He says it, right?
I know. Yeah. Oh, it's totally him. And they have a really awkward drive back.
Quiet. It's real quiet.
Yeah, we get home and surprise, his girlfriend is there.
Okay, so just before we started recording, I got a frantic text from Chris down the hall, who then had to follow up by knocking on the door because he really wanted to make sure I saw the text. And he had sent this, he's really cute, he sent this thing over. It's an article about how this character that we're just about to introduce, Cassie, is Laura Hopper. She is Tom Hopper's actual wife, and she's the one who got him to do this movie. Cassie is his on again, off again girlfriend. He proposed to her. She turned him down. I think. And that she was off somewhere at a fashion show or whatever. He thought they were done. He was kind of devastated, but not letting it show because he's a non-emotional British man. Well, then she's there.
Yeah, they're engaged. They're not just boyfriend and girlfriend. They're engaged.
I thought she turned him down. Break. Yeah, they were on a break. That's what it was. He was like, "You told me we were broken up." Oh no, you know, no, we're back on again. Yeah. It's fine. She says OMG a lot.
Yes, she does.
OMG.
OMG. And she's gorgeous. She's really beautiful.
Former model who is now doing her own line and things like that.
Fashion designer. And she was in Australian Vogue, which we find out. But
we've learned a lot about other countries' Vogues by doing this podcast. Yeah.
So Julie kind of freaks out and stomps outside, and she's got an early tour bus to catch the next morning. So you guys do what you got to do. You're going to go to the hotel, and she goes downstairs, and he chases after her and says, "This whole week, it didn't mean anything. And the next time your phone doesn't ring, that's me," which I think is hilarious line.
Yeah.
It's like, that didn't come out the way I wanted it to, but I was like, it came out perfectly.
Yep. And the reference there is, he tells her earlier, ignore Brandon's calls, ignore his texts, because that's how you're going to make him realize that, yeah, he really likes you or whatever, and he misses you. So just, you know, ignore him. And then he has that fabulous line about how going back to an ex is like taking a shower and putting your dirty underwear back on.
It was just like, yeah, that was a great line. So he goes to the hotel.
I hate the fact that she's so upset with him about that. Like, she's doing the exact same thing. She just broke up with her long-term boyfriend. She's doing the exact same thing.
He knew about her breakup, and she didn't know that he was in a break with his fiance or whatever. He didn't even mention.
But how much does it even matter? Like, first of all, did she even ask? Second of all, does it even matter? He lives in the UK. She lives in the US. They don't really have any sort of common connections. They're just having a fun week. They ended up, through weird happenstance, being in this villa at the same time. They tried to kill each other for a while. Now they're just having fun. Why does it matter so much?
Because she's in love with him.
Good gravy.
And yeah, so she's freaking out. It's been like a day and a half that she hasn't been trying to kill him. It's been a day. Mm-hmm. It has been 24 hours at this point. Mm-hmm. He's sad in his hotel. He tips the busboy a lot, or the bellhop quite a bit, because Casey has a lot of bags.
He's got one little bag. She has like 20. Yeah.
It turns out she does not like Prosecco. Because she drinks some of the Prosecco, and she goes, "Ugh, it's Prosecco." And he's like, "Well, I can have some champagne ordered." And she's like, "No, it's fine." But back at the villa, we've got Julie saying the cat's sorry, because the cats are jumping up to the one random window. And she's like, "Sorry, I got nothing for you." And somehow,
just knock on the door.
Yeah. It's Brendan. She thinks it's Charlie, but it's Brendan.
Yeah, he appears in his vest t-shirt combo that he's sporting. It's lovely.
Now, not gonna lie, also a total cutie.
He is a total cutie pie. He is.
Total cutie pie. Would totally date him. Obviously doesn't work for Julie, but...
Well, Julie might not work for him.
Yeah. The two of them don't work together. But there's nothing like wrong with him.
No.
Other than him freaking out over her being overwhelming after 4 years.
Yeah, and he's a little goofy. He's got some like dad humor vibes going on. Which is fine. Whatever. He's the they point out he's the youngest DA for
second youngest
for the Twin Cities.
Yep.
If that's even, I don't even know if that's a thing. I have no idea. I don't know anything about Minnesota. I'm sorry.
And they have a conversation, you know. We just make sense. My parents love you. My sister loves you. And she's like, but how do you feel? And he's like, we, you know, this
I think he says, like, I got on a plane to be here.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually answer. He just says, I just got on a plane to be here.
Like, isn't it obvious? But you don't actually say it. Yeah, you need to
say it. Yep, because I don't know. If you don't say it, I don't know. Yeah, so fine. Brandon's there. Cassie's now there. We end up the next day, they're going for dinner.
Is it later that day? I think it's later.
Later that night. Yeah. So he is taking her to a restaurant. They're all dressed up, but the dope doesn't have any reservations. And this is after she's explained to him, like, before, we need to have reservations because if we don't have reservations, we're not going to get in anywhere.
And it's a TripAdvisor restaurant, which she specifically said she was not into. She wanted stuff from the locals, which is the good food, not any of these TripAdvisor restaurants. This is the best restaurant on TripAdvisor.
But she sucks it up and they go in and he's trying to talk to the woman at the desk.
Yeah.
She's not going to see them.
He waves $100 and it turns out that Casey and Charlie are there.
Cassie sees them, calls them over, and you see Charlie kind of hunch. Hello. He's hiding, but Cassie's all for it. And oh yeah, there's plenty of room at their table. Yeah, sure. They'll just move over and they can sit and eat with them.
It's a 4-person table, but it's only the two of them.
So yeah. So they do end up sitting down. The waiter comes over, brings wine. And I love this is really like the comedic chops coming out. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal as Kat Graham is just emptying the full bottle of wine into the glass. And then the waiter, when he brings out the straw, that it's just, she asked for a straw.
And another bottle of wine.
Yep. It's just phenomenal. The scene is lovely and incredibly awkward, but lovely. Cassie and Brandon are having a good conversation. And Julie is just being super weird because she's upset.
Getting
she's drunk.
Smashed.
Is a little cray cray. Just a little bit. There's something not quite right there.
Mm-hmm. Two girls approach the table.
Yes.
They're like, oh my God, are you Julie? Oh, we love you. Don't give up on love. Brendan is such a jerk. And he's like, wait, but me, Brendan? Me? Like, And then they walk away and they kind of tell the story, but not really.
It's kind of like, well, it's a long story. It's one of those you needed to be there sort of things, you know? It's just, this is a wild dinner.
Dinner's super awkward. He being Charlie. Charlie starts, you know, hyping up Cassie. And so Julie feels like she has to hype up
Brandon.
And
he drives an Audi.
Awkward.
That's what she finishes on. Yeah, he drives an Audi.
So they leave. They go for a walk.
Well, don't forget at the table. So it's just Charlie and Cassie left there. And Cassie's talking about, it's so weird. That was just like the weirdest thing ever. And Charlie just says, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And she's like, well, you mean you're done with dinner, right? Let's get the check. You know what? No. I'm done with this relationship. Because she is very self-absorbed and very vain.
Yeah.
And she said, you'll never get another woman like me, Charlie. Mm-hmm, that's the point.
Yeah. And then she's like, no, I'll spin this. I dumped you. And she's trying to think of reasons.
She's going to tell her friends.
Yeah. And he's just volunteering bad things about himself. Oh, and I do this and this, and do you need more? And she's like, no, I think I can handle it. Back at the piazza, Brendan points out the balcony of Juliet and asks
which her, she's seen every freaking day.
He asks her to do the Oh Romeo speech, and she does it while she's kind of looking. She kind of gets this glaze, and when she looks back at him, he's on one knee and he's got the ring out. And of course, Charlie has been running to get here. He's gone through the gauntlet of cats, which I don't understand why he goes through the gauntlet of there's just an alley. There's another gauntlet.
It's an alley with CGI cats. Yes.
It's an unrelated alley of cats. And so he does the gauntlet of cats. He makes it there just as Brendan puts the ring on her finger and she holds her hand out and looks at it.
And he kind of sighs and walks away.
And then Julie asks Brandon, do you think I'm weird?
Yeah.
Which, without context, it's a strange question. And yes, Julie, we do think you are weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is fine.
You know? It's fine. He doesn't quite understand. And she goes into the whole, your weird should match my weird or whatever. And he just doesn't get it.
Nope.
Proving again that they really just, they don't fit together.
They're not compatible.
It's not going to work. It didn't work before. Although apparently it's worked for 4 years. But now, for some reason, it's not going to work now. Okay, fine. People change. People grow apart. Cool. Whatever.
No problem.
Yeah, next day, I think.
Next day, yeah. She goes to the graves of Romeo and Juliet, the catacomb. Yeah, again, fictional people.
Yep. There's just an empty tomb surrounded by candles.
Yep. So she does some more touristy stuff, and Brandon just walks down the street. Oh, happens to see
Cassie sees him, I think.
Yeah. Well, they kind of see each other.
They start bonding over being newly single. Yeah. This could be a new moment for Brandon, except he orders Prosecco and you know it's all over.
For the table. And you just see her like, no, not going to work. Which, just don't order for the table, folks, unless you know exactly what the person's like. And even then, don't.
Well, I think he wanted to toast because I mean, it's sparkling. So,
yeah. But hey, do you want to share some? Anyway.
Yeah, you would ask. You think you'd ask, yes.
Charlie's at the fountain where he runs into Silvio. Mm-hmm. And Silvio's, like, hey, love always finds a way, right? This was fate. It was meant to be, the two of you. And it clicks. He's like, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go back to the villa and find her before she leaves. Well, she's there packing. Uberto is there also, waiting for her, loading up the car. Mm-hmm. She forgot something. It's the sweatshirt. It's upstairs.
In a drawer. She put it in a drawer.
I think she was just going to leave it there.
She was.
And then decided, no, I'm not going to just leave it there.
You definitely need to bring that home with you. That is a true piece of memorabilia.
So she gets up. She's about to leave. And she hears the Romeo side of the speech, right? Juliet is the sun, and it's Charlie outside in the piazza.
The people are paying no attention. The other people in this plaza are paying no attention to this guy reciting lines from a play to a woman who is on a balcony.
Yeah, it's bonkers. She does come downstairs. And she says, his weird didn't match mine. They kiss, the end.
Silvio is definitely getting 5 stars.
Yes.
Yep.
And Uberto is cheering. Yes,
very excited. Cheering. Where do they go from there?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I know there's like a big pause there, folks, but where?
What? I don't know. I don't know. That was my same question because I thought, oh, maybe there's going to be like a mid-credit scene, something you could see what they're doing, or how this is working out. Do like little snapshots of things. Nothing. That's why I'm kind of hoping that this is going to be a wine cinematic universe for Netflix. So
Netflix, more information. Listen to us, hear us, please.
All right, that's the movie.
With that summary, Katie, at the end of each summary, I'd like to ask you to rate the movie on a scale of 1 to 5 emojis this week in honor of the gauntlet. We are using the cat smiley face emoji. So, Katie, how many cat smiley faces would you like to give Love in the Villa?
I'm going to give us 3 cat smiley faces. Okay. I thought this movie was quite funny. The lines are great. There are a lot of fun lines in it. Just some of the physical comedy that especially Cat Graham is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Love it. We've got some entertaining characters. Genuinely funny movie. But the first half of it is so dumb. It made no sense to me why she would do any of that. I just did not understand. It's like, you're supposed to be there enjoying this trip. You only have so much time. You're really going to, have this crazy revenge plot to try to get this guy out of the villa that you're barely going to spend any time with. It was just dumb. And then the second half of it, quite enjoyable. I had a lot of fun when she's not being, totally nuts. But yeah, you get to the end and it's like, well, but what happens now? So they just went through all of this and okay, you know, they're in love or whatever, but it doesn't change the fact that she lives and works in Minnesota.
Loves her job.
Loves her job. Like it's the thing she wants to do is be a third grade teacher in Minnesota. Yeah. He lives and works in presumably London.
UK and at least, yeah.
Yeah. And he gets to travel sometimes, but he's not traveling to Minnesota for.
And has also just recently decided to quit his job and buy a Tuscan winery
because
he did decide to do that.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot about that. So, okay. Well, then he's in Italy trying to make this business work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't quite understand how this works.
Yeah.
And it's fine if they just had like this moment of realization of, I don't want to be with Brandon anymore. I'm a different person. I don't want to be with Cassie anymore. I'm a different person. That's totally fine. But that's not where it ends. It ends with the two of them wanting to be in some sort of relationship together. This relationship that, by the way, is built on her trying to kill him with cats and getting him arrested and getting him in a position where he's going to lose his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took all the words right out of my mouth,
I'm
Katie.
I'm so sorry.
No. I'm also giving this a 3 because the mismatch between them fighting, and I understand there's that enemies to lovers thing, right? But
yeah.
The enemies bit was so contrived.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all on her.
Yeah. Because again, his stuff is fairly tame, except for a little bit of public humiliation. Yeah. But compared to what she did to him, it was pretty tame.
Yeah. I didn't hate any of it, right? No. It wasn't like, oh my God, now I hate this movie. No, it's fine. Could it have been better with a few tweaks in writing? Absolutely. Am I going to recommend this to people? Sure. You want a cute rom-com?
Turn your brain off rom-com? Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a total turn your brain off, right? It's just a cute cuddle with your significant other and sip some wine and watch a silly movie, right? Like in the summertime.
Yes.
Open the windows, drink some wine.
Let those cats in.
Yeah, exactly. Get a nice breeze. Like this is a perfect summer silly rom-com movie. Is it anything amazing? No. Was it the funniest movie I've ever seen? No. But yeah, you're right. There was some really good comedy, which I really enjoyed. It didn't take itself super seriously. The actual comedy was like funny.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't try too hard. It wasn't too awkward. It was cute. And I can see their relationship building. Now, where does it go from here? I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know.
Gotta wait for the third installment in the cinematic universe.
So yeah, I'm with you on a 3. It's good, not great. This is good. Chris gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
So, all right. I can understand. Yeah. So with all of those, it's a 3.16 repeating. Dividing by 3 is annoying. You get a lot of thirds.
Well, if people stopped using the halves of quarters of points, someone drives me nuts. And someone pulls out a quarter of a point.
Lidea, it's mostly Chris. It's mostly Chris. I only do it when Chris does it so I can get better numbers. Because, yeah. But yeah, 3.16 repeating cat smiley face emojis for love in the villa. And with that is going to be our show. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast provider. If you like this podcast, please tell your friends. Find us online on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or on our website at mademepodcast.com. You can also email us at mademepodcast@gmail.com. Next week, we're going to be watching another Netflix original rom-com, because they're just churning them out these days. This one is called Wedding Season. So keep an ear out for that.
All right. Bye, everybody.